welcome to the special edition NFL Draft 2012 recap. Your host, Jacob Berry here.
And Pat McNamara.
And we will be talking about some of the highlighted topics in the draft, mainly some of the first round trades and how that impacted the rest of the draft. And then we'll also kind of highlight some of the teams around here, including the Rams, Chiefs, and some other teams of the like. So, Patrick, not much to talk about in the first two picks. Just like everybody expected, Andrew Luck and RG3. I've already given my thoughts on who I think will be better, so we'll leave that discussion there for now. And then third, Cleveland moves up to number three to nab Richardson, running back out of Bama. You think that was a smart move, P-Mac?
I don't really see the point of it. They were at four, the Vikings were at three, so if Cleveland was worried that someone else was going to try to trade with Minnesota and grab Richardson, then it makes perfect sense that they'd want to trade up if they somehow were worried or heard some rumor that someone else was going to, so they wanted to beat them to the punch and be the one to trade up. But otherwise, trading up one spot to take Trent Richardson, who the Vikings obviously were not going to get since they have Peterson, then that would make absolutely no sense whatsoever and would be a complete waste. So if the reason was because they were worried someone else was going to, then okay, that's perfectly understandable. But if that wasn't the reason, then I'm absolutely clueless.
Yeah, I think this is one of the reasons why the Browns have sucked for so long. They first off, they try to make the trade to go up to two to try to get RG3. They lose that to the to Washington, obviously. But so I think they're still a little bitter about that. So I don't know if they're trying to make a splash in the news or whatever to try to get. I don't know what they were thinking, but. It just goes to show why Cleveland will not be going anywhere anytime soon. They'll still be in the cellar of that division, especially with Cincy up and coming. And then Minnesota, again, swaps with Cleveland. They take Matt Khalil, as they most likely would have, with number three. So good job, Cleveland. Another noteworthy trade, Jacksonville. And this kind of got the ball rolling for the rest of the top 10. Jacksonville was sitting at 7, and they move up to 5, swap picks with Tampa, and they take Justin Blackmon. Now, I think this is a good move for Jacksonville. Obviously, they have Blaine Gabbert, who has been struggling, but from what I'm hearing, the ownership really believes in him. And obviously with this move, they're trying to, you know, put every weapon they can around him. So I think it's a good move for Jacksonville. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, they definitely got Gabbert, somebody to actually throw to this year. So Blackmon and Jones-Drew. Gabbert has the size and the arm strength and all
that
sort of, and the surfer hair and all that sort of stuff. To be a good QB, he didn't look good at all under any sort of pressure, any blitzes last year, really. But having Blackmon and being in his second year might help out. But they didn't draft a quarterback at all in any later rounds, so that shows they're probably looking to stick with him. A key draft pick they did have was that, or a key player they picked up was Brandon Marshall. Now, let's not immediately get too confused, though, with the Brandon Marshall, as it was actually fifth-round pick Brandon Marshall, linebacker out of Nevada. So let's not jump on that too quick before we think they've got Brandon Marshall and Justin Blackmon.
Hopefully this new Brandon Marshall can actually help this team out and be a good team player for Jacksonville.
On that note, though, the actual Brandon Marshall that most people would think of is now with the Bears, who they just picked up. And I've been raving about the Bears the past week or so because they added Michael Bush to a backfield that already had Matt Forte. They gave Cutler, Brandon Marshall, and another 6'4 receiver to line up alongside him. Alshon Jeffrey, who I think is going to be the best receiver of anyone in this draft. It's ridiculous that he dropped to the second round. He tore it up 2 years ago. 1,500 receiving yards. That was good for fourth in the country 2 years ago. This past year, Steven Garcia got kicked off the team at South Carolina, so Spurrier didn't want to throw a lot, so his stats went down to only 700, which is still pretty respectable. So no one talked about him, and he dropped to the second round. The Bears got a steal. I think this guy is worthy of a top 10 pick. Obviously, he didn't get picked there, but I think he is going to be an incredible player in the NFL. 6'4", huge, catches everything. So they're looking pretty good, but the problem I have with what the Bears did in the first round is that they drafted a Boise State DN. Boise was never known for their defense. It was their offense that was rolling up stats against Wyoming and the likes. But they drafted a defensive end instead of a lineman. They could have got DeCastro. Do you think they should have taken him?
Well, on that note, women's tennis has really been picking up. Why are we talking about the Bears right now after talking about Jacksonville picking number 5? We're going to talk about that later. I'm not talking about this anymore. Okay, number 5.
You
back
know,
to the
get that
back
I've been talking about it all week. All
right. Yeah, think about that for later. So Blackman is off the board. And so the Rams are sitting there at 6 and everybody knows Blackman's the guy they want to take. He's not there anymore. So
that the Rams wanted to take?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wants to take Blackman at 6. And they do the logical thing, trade down. The problem that I have to where they traded, if they need a receiver that bad, was they traded down to 14. Now, sitting there at 13, right above them, are the Arizona Cardinals. And pretty much all week long, Larry Fitzgerald, the face of that franchise, has been saying, we want Michael Floyd, which is the second best prospect coming out of this draft class at receiver. So that's my problem. Unless they decided they didn't want another receiver for whatever reason. But they, with that 14th pick, they took Michael Brockers, which, could turn out to be a good pick. Defensive tackle, has a lot of upside, but he could turn out to be another LSU bust at D-line. Only time will tell. Anyway, they trade down to 14. Dallas moves up. They pick up Claiborne. Interesting pick there. Claiborne is most likely the best cornerback in this draft for a couple years now. Everybody's been talking about him. So he will have an immediate impact in Dallas. And kind of puzzling to me, though, I think they have really attack the free agency market for cornerbacks. They picked up Brandon Carr. They still have Terrence Newman, who is aging but still can play. They picked up somebody else. I can't exactly remember who, but they've picked up cornerbacks, and adding Maurice Claiborne to that will definitely give them more talent, but it also kind of crowd things in the cornerback depth. So I think they should have actually taken Mark Barron out of Tampa, or out of Bama, who Tampa ended up getting with that number 7 pick. Tampa, again, looking for defense to try to get back to their glory days of defensive prominence. But they take Mark Barron, who you're pretty high on, right, Patrick?
Yeah, he's a beast out of Alabama, another SEC safety looking to be the next Eric Berry. But a little Chiefs bias there for me. But yeah, he's a more of a run stopper kind of guy than a coverage guy. So he'll be playing strong safety there, most likely. But yeah, he's looking pretty good. So yeah, I think he'll be a really good player.
Yeah, and then Tannehill at number 8, not too much of a surprise there. Miami needs a quarterback. Whether or not Tannehill is the guy is yet to be decided.
I think they should have waited till Matt Moore put up pretty good stats last year in Miami. If you look at his stats, they were pretty good. And they could have tried and waited till next year, and who has any idea what pick they'll have next year, but maybe tried to get someone like Tyler Wilson, or if they did bad enough, Landry Jones and Matt Barkley could, who knows if they'd be available when they drafted, depending on where they were. But those guys, I think, are all going to be better than Ryan Tannehill. I mean, who knows, but I think all three of those guys have better potential than Tannehill does. I think he's way overrated.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Tannehill.
I mean, he didn't do much of anything. His stats were not bad. I looked up a ton of QBs that had identical or better stats than him this past year. Even some guys who weren't even close to getting drafted in the first round. So I don't really see this right here.
Yeah, maybe you'll turn around and prove some doubters wrong. But as of right now, I know both of us are not on board with that pick. Another trade that occurred after the Chiefs take Dontari Poe at 11, kind of jumping down a little bit. Now that kind of started the defensive lineman. Everybody's trying to the defensive lineman scramble for that. Philly moves up to 12 to get Fletcher Cox out of Mississippi State. Now that's the guy who I was saying last week, who I think is the best D-tackle to come out of this class. So Philly might have grabbed a good one there. And they swap with Seattle, who moves 3 spots down to 15, who takes a pretty questionable pick, in my opinion, getting linebacker / D-end from West Virginia, Bruce Irvin, who was a surprise to me. I had never even heard of this guy. I did some research on him. He registered only 33 sacks. The defense had 33 sacks. And Seattle, sorry, had 33 sacks last year. And they were looking for help. I don't know if this was the guy. He only played 2 downs out of the 4 in West Virginia. Obviously the pass rushing downs, but he's not a run stopper at all. He's one dimensional. I don't exactly agree with the pick. PMAC, do you have any thoughts on Irvin? Have you heard of him?
I had not either. So, no disrespect towards this guy, but neither of us have heard of him. So. Yeah, and West Virginia, not exactly known for their defense. No Big East team really is known for anything, but we'll find out how good they are when they come to the Big 12 next year. But that's another topic, but we'll see how good this guy is. But he's a little underweight as well for a defensive end. I mean, he's more the size of a linebacker, like you said, so who knows? Maybe they'll have him play an outside linebacker, but I mean, that does not jump out at you when you look at a lot of these picks that were after him, and you look at Copels of North Carolina. Should have taken is Ingram.
Yeah.
This guy is huge. He can be a D-end or linebacker, and he will wreak havoc. Ingram, I think if you're going to get somebody for a pass rusher, that's who you should take, or Courtney Upshaw out of Alabama.
Yeah, if you're going for defense, why not take a stab at the SEC? instead of taking a Big East player. But sticking with, actually, along with Big East defense, another noteworthy trade, New England nabs Chandler Jones, defensive end out of Syracuse at 21 after moving up. Now, I hadn't really heard about this guy either. Maybe I'm Midwest bias instead of East Coast bias, but hadn't heard about him. I've heard a lot of good things, though, that he's probably better than Bruce Irvin, definitely.
Belichick always seems to be a good talent scout.
Yeah, I trust Belichick with this pick. New England also definitely needed some defensive help. Were they worst or second worst in the league?
New England. I was actually thinking about that the other day. I couldn't remember if it was them or Green Bay, but those had the two statistically worst defenses. So the two best offenses have the two worst defenses. So, yeah, it was 31 or 32, though, I remember.
Yeah.
But, yeah, all around a fairly pathetic defense from New England. So I agree with the position pick. Not sure I agree with the player, but I'm not going to question Belichick at this point.
Yeah. And then along with that, they also grabbed another defensive pick out of, I think it was first round. They had somebody else, but Dante Hightower out of Bama.
Oh, yeah. I really like that pick right there.
Yeah, he's a good pick. And then Green Bay also takes another defensive end out of USC, maybe trying to pair him with Clay Matthews so you can have some Trojans attacking the quarterback on the outside. Moving right along, another trade that occurred at 22, Cleveland surprised me, surprised I think a lot of people. Move back into the first round and take Brandon Weeden.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is definitely a statement that even though just a few short weeks ago the front office said they have Colt McCoy as their guy and
yeah,
they trust him. And then they move, they trade into the first round to get Weeden, who...
There was someone else who did something similar. They told a player on their team, I can't remember who it is now, but someone else misled one of their players about whether they were going to draft the guy at his position. I can't remember who, so obviously the Browns doing that same thing.
Yeah, and...
So I don't know how McCoy's going to feel about that.
Back about the Browns... So they move up from 4-3. They give away a pick. They give multiple picks to move back into the first round. The way their team is, they have a lot of missing pieces. And to do that, you need a lot of young talent, not a few good guys. I think they should be drafting for all across the board, not cashing in multiple picks to get two guys who, I mean, I like both those guys, Richardson and Weeden, but I mean, the Browns need more than just quarterback and running back. They need everything. I think it's going to do horrors for them down the road, honestly. Just, I mean, if they're cashing all their picks, they're going to end up like the Raiders, not having they didn't have any first three rounds picks or something this draft. You're going to end up like that if they're not careful. So, Browns fans, be careful. Sticking in the state of Ohio, Cincy, the Bengals, this draft, they had two first-round picks, one of their own, and one from Oakland's trade for Carson Palmer. So with those picks, they get Dre Kirkpatrick, cornerback, which has some some issues.
Again, Cleveland or Cincinnati continues to do it.
Yeah. has some character issues, but so then with their second pick, I know PMAC, you and I were texting when their second pick comes around. We were wondering if they're going to get Janoris Jenkins or somebody else with huge question marks and character issues to fill out that that draft class as the most jail time in 4 years. But they surprise us and get a guard from Wisconsin, a good old farm boy. Definitely did not, as far as I'm concerned, does not fit what Cincinnati seems to be going for, which is just people who can play football but not exactly hold themselves together off the field. But this pick, they seem to be going a little different direction. So we'll see if it works out for them. And then we'll move on to Chicago. PMAC, what do you have? Do you have anything else to say about Chicago, or did you get it all out of the way when we were talking about Jacksonville and the Rams earlier tonight?
Yeah, as I said, Jeffrey, excellent pick. I think I cleared that out of the way earlier. But the problem I have, the biggest problem I have probably about this whole draft, and definitely from Chicago, is that they had a chance in the first round. I like what they did in the second with Jeffrey, but in the first round, they were sitting there with a chance to, at 19, they had a chance to take David DeCastro. He was still on the board. The biggest problem the Bears have had is that Cutler has no time to throw. They could have, they added Michael Bush, they added Brandon Marshall, and they added Alshon Jeffrey. They made their offense incredible, and they could have fixed the one remaining flaw in that offense, or helped fix it at least, with getting DeCastro. And they passed it up to get a Boise D lineman, so that's my problem number one, is that they didn't take DeCastro.
Number two, but, Boise.
Yeah, number two is that Courtney Upshaw out of Bama, he played linebacker there. He could play linebacker or D-end in the NFL probably. A little bit slow for a linebacker, but you know, he's versatile, though. He could play linebacker or D-end. He's a great pass rusher, though, and they could have taken him. I was looking at their stats. He had more sacks, more tackles for loss, similar tackle numbers, but more sacks and more tackles for loss, and he's playing against 10 times as good of competition. So that's my problem number two.
You mean to tell me Wyoming is a good competition?
I think you know the answer. But yeah, I don't see that either. So I think they had a great draft second round, but in the first round they had a chance to really have one of the best drafts of any team in the NFL over the first two rounds, and I think they blew it there. But I mean, we'll see how that turns out. But I mean, overall, I still like what they've done in the offseason with the two free agent signings and then with Jeffrey.
Yeah, I agree with that. They should not have gone with the Boise D-end. Boise State isn't known for...
Right.
They're not known for defense. They're known for Kellen Moore and then choking in big games except for the Fiesta Bowl. But,
you know, 7 years ago.
Yeah, 7 years ago.
Six, whatever.
But we'll have more talks on that this weekend when you guys tune in this weekend for the college football special. But sticking with NFC North, we move on to the Packers. The Packers, as we said, got DN out of USC. If you look at their whole draft board, actually their first five rounds are all defensive players. They get a D-end in the first, D-end and a corner both in the second, and then D-tackle safety both in the fourth, and then a linebacker in the fifth. And then in two late seventh rounders, they get a tackle and a quarterback. But definitely trying to step up their defense, which was horrendous last year, but I mean, you could say that's because their offense was so good and scoring so quickly, but...
Yeah, they had the dead last pass defense. I have it here, 32nd in pass defense. So, D-end helped the pass rush in the first round. And second round, you said DN and corner.
Mm-hmm.
More help for the pass rush, so I have no problem with that. The one thing I would have liked to see, maybe, is in James Starks and Ryan Grant, they're both averaging over 4 yards a carry, low fours, so, I mean, not bad there. But imagine if they maybe focus first round on getting a pass rush, then they had 2 second-round picks, they use, so they get a DN first round, they get a corner second, and then if they can nab, and maybe next year is the draft to wait for since the running backs weren't deep after the first couple. But if they either this year or next year, if they could go for a good running back in Aaron Rodgers, and then you give him a good running back too on top of that, and they've got good receivers, that'd be, I mean, they're already impossible to stop, but then you throw a good running back too. So I'd like to see them maybe next year try and go after a running back, because that, I mean, that'd be even harder to stop, and they're already impossible to stop almost.
Yeah. One thing I think would have been interesting was you said, I agree, I like their first two picks. Well, two of their first three were DN and corner. One of their second round picks was D tackle. I mean, they have BJ Raji.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a desperate need for a D tackle. They picked him 19 overall in the second round. If they were to go running back, LaMichael James was still on the board.
I was actually, just as you started hinting that you were going to propose something there, I actually just started thinking that, because the Packers run shotgun a ton.
Yeah.
Probably more than any NFL team, I would think. Well, them in New England run a lot of it. So, in LaMichael James, if you're giving him to the... I mean, he went to the Niners, which makes no sense because they kind of pounded up the middle.
Yeah,
ground
and pound.
I don't know how they're going to utilize him. I'm sure Harbaugh has some idea, but yeah, Packers. I actually was just thinking of that, so that's cool that you bring that up, because putting him in that shotgun, because they, I mean, sending him out of the backfield with Rodgers thrown to him,
yeah,
let him make a couple moves after the catch, and he's impossible to even get a hand on. All these Oregon running backs coming out now are, I mean, these guys are so fast, so that actually would have been an excellent pick, I think, there.
Yeah. I think if they would have had him, taken him at 19, they got their cornerback, they got their pass rusher,
right,
the first round. I mean, that's arguably the best first three picks on the draft right there.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have gone that direction, but
I would have liked to see, yeah, Philly, New Orleans, or Green Bay, or New England. They do that kind of stuff too, throwing the running
mm-hmm.
back screens and all that. So yeah, one of those four teams I would like to see take LaMichael James, not the Niners. I think that's a stretch, but yeah,
yeah,
they,
especially with Grant's health issues that he's been having, why not get a running back?
Yeah, but maybe next year I'd like to see them try and do that.
Yep. So,
but yeah, they did fix the defense, or they did add
yeah.
to the defense. So, I mean, that's
can't get too mad at them going that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll stick with the NFC. Rams hit on it a little bit. They kind of got snubbed out of their top two receivers in this draft, Blackman and Michael Floyd. So they end up getting Michael Brockers. One of their other needs that wasn't a wide receiver was D tackle, so not all that bad of a pick. I'm not exactly sure if Brockers is NFL ready. He's a redshirt sophomore, so don't know how ready he's going to be. And as we've said, LSU is notorious recently for producing busts when it comes to D linemen picked early. They did get a receiver with the first pick in the second round, Appalachian State wide receiver.
I'm not sure who from the St. Louis organization was attending Appalachian State games on his Saturdays. Obviously someone. But
I know, it's like they knew they got snubbed. You know, don't shoot yourself in the foot. You know you need a receiver. Regroup and find actually somebody you like. I mean, I'm not listening in on the Rams organization, but it looked like they just blindly picked, oh, we need a receiver. this man's our guy. Brian Quick, Appalachian State.
They rolled the dice is what I heard.
Yeah, so not exactly sure about that. They need a number one receiver. They don't need...
I did read something that said he's got Terrell Owens potential, but then as I read the rest of the paragraph, the quote was coming from someone within the Rams organization. So I'm not going to invest too much in that. But the Rams, first of all, I've been talking a lot about Alshon Jeffrey, so I would have liked them to take him, not... What's his name?
Appalachian State, man.
I knew it. I was just messing around. But but the Rams, last year, they until the very end of the season, they did not have two consecutive weeks with the same five offensive line starters. So they could use a little help there, perhaps. They finished third to last in the league in passing yards. So, yeah, I mean, obviously receiver, fine. They could use some offensive line. Their run defense was horrible. They could use help there. They needed help pretty much all over the place. Their pass defense actually was good last year, statistically. Though. But, yeah, I mean...
They helped that by getting Janoris Jenkins out of North Alabama. He did... Was it Florida and transferred? But so he has talent. Janoris Jenkins, another question mark. The Rams actually had the most picks in the first... They had six picks in the first 96 overall, which I think is the most in history in that stretch. So they definitely, by trading down twice, they definitely amassed a lot of picks. So, I mean, only time will tell if they use those picks wisely. They went kind of all across the board, offense, defense, but so hopefully they can use those picks wisely. They got a kicker out of Missouri Western, in case you guys were wondering. So hopefully he'll be good.
Not sure who.
Nice job, Rams. Nice job, Rams fans. So moving to the other side of the state, what everybody's been waiting for, Kansas City Chiefs. PMAC, I know you were a little on edge about their pick at number 11. They get D tackle out of Memphis. What are you thinking right for that pick?
If they can, let me say this first. They could afford to take a player like that. So half of me says I really like it because we needed nothing besides, I mean, you can say a quarterback. Matt Kessel did make a Pro Bowl, so Kansas City fans are probably
getting
greedy.
He's 1 year out of a Pro Bowl.
But at the same time, he's a game manager, not a game winner. So,
mm-hmm.
So I mean, but they're not going to.
But
there weren't any of those
in the draft.
So,
at this point,
that's. I'm just saying in terms of what they needed.
Yeah.
But besides that, the only position that they really needed was D-tackle. They didn't need anything else really at all. There's stuff they could have used here and there. But when you're this balanced, and I would say they're actually loaded at a lot of positions. Very good. So you can afford to risk. You don't need a sure player at anything. So when you're that balanced and you've got this many good players as the Chiefs have, you can afford a risk like that. So if he's 346 pounds and runs, I believe, like a 4.8 40 or something.
4.98.
Yeah, or 4.9, 4.98. So, I mean,
but that's at 350 pounds, 6'5".
Yeah, and like Fletcher Cox, the D tackle out of Mississippi State
elementary. Who was it that he ran faster? He came out of Florida. He was like a.
Oh yeah, Brandon Spikes,
yeah.
The Florida linebacker. So. I mean, this guy's as fast as a
running faster than running. Yeah, linebackers.
But yeah, so it could turn out well. But I wouldn't have minded seeing them take Floyd or Alshon Floyd in the first round, or They also had DeCastro, could have given the line a boost.
Yeah.
Or Alshon Jeffrey, they had there in the second round, and Floyd in the first round could have gotten either of them and given Castle another guy to make Castle look good. So if they could have taken a receiver first or second round, that would have been fine either, as far as I'm concerned. I actually like their fifth round pick better than I like their first. DaQuan Minzie out of Alabama. I actually saw a couple things online where people were saying they thought he was actually the better Bama cornerback out of him,
Drake Kirkpatrick.
And Kirkpatrick, who was a first-round pick to Cincinnati. So, I mean, I'm not saying I agree with that because I don't, but just the thought that anyone's even considering that tells you
that's a
pretty
play.
Good pick. So I actually like their fifth round better than I like their first. And then they get Cyrus Gray, a well-known 1,000-yard rusher out of A&M. And then Junior.
If anybody helped A&M, it was him.
He
had more production than Tannehill.
So they get a guy in the fifth, sixth, and seventh round that I've all heard of. And then in the first, second, third, and fourth, they get guys I haven't heard of. So that's pretty weird, but we'll see how it turns out. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. I'm trying to tell myself with this Dontari Poe pick, I mean, we are in the 3-4. We do need a nose tackle who can really stop the run. But I feel like that's all he can really do. I mean, he's shown flashes of, you know, getting to the quarterback. And I really hope that Romeo Crennel will work with him. The coaching staff will work with him because he does need work. And another thing, I guess, that will help Chiefs fans breathe a little better on this one. Poe, a little inconsistent, but you can't blame that 100% on him and the fact that in his 4 years at Memphis, he had three different coaching staffs. I mean, that's going to be tough on everybody. If Crennel, who is a world-renowned, you know, defensive lineman specialist, if he can get his hands on Dontari Poe, make the most out of his potential,
yeah,
then that could be one of the biggest steals in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Getting, you know, one of the better D tackles for the past couple of years.
Yeah,
at
the Chiefs
11.
Are one of the teams that can afford a boom or bust, a really
yeah.
risky pick when you're that across the board.
Yeah, and then I had been saying that they should have gone David DeCastro with that pick.
Yeah.
I'll
agree with that.
Yeah, we definitely could have used that. Some line help.
Him or a receiver would have been nice.
And if we went that in that direction with our second pick, we could have got a D tackle. There were solid D tackles still on the board at our second round selection. But we went guard in second round, which I guess we flip-flopped in what I would have liked to see, but that's fine with me. So hopefully with that Dontari Poe pick, it'll really help us out down the road. PMAC, Dontari Poe had that solid 40 time. Do you think that means a lot moving forward, or...
Yeah, no, I think it'll help in the pass rush, certainly. Not the first stat you look at from a D tackle, obviously, but I mean, it could be beneficial. I mean, he can run people down if he gets through the line and get to the QB quickly. But another comment as far as 40 time is concerned, I think 40 time is one of the most overrated things people look at, because I heard all week heading up to the NFL draft, I read things and heard things on TV and such saying, and it was mostly about receivers, about their 40 times. Basically, anyone who ran a 4.5 or slower, they said was a slow receiver. Now, first of all, I have a problem with that, because I think that your 40 time isn't completely indicative of how fast you actually play on the field. because Kendall Wright out of Baylor was supposedly like maybe the fastest receiver in the draft and ran a 4.6, which is supposedly slow. So that, I mean, that there's one thing. And then they're saying Jeffrey and Floyd are slow because they ran like 4.55s or something. Well, I checked some stuff out and found that Jerry Rice ran a 4.7, possibly the slowest 40 time ever of a receiver. Larry Fitzgerald ran a 4.63, which is slower than either of those guys, and he's one of the best in the NFL. And Brandon Marshall and Marcus Colston ran in the 4.5s as well, and they seem to be doing fine as well. So it's like they're small. You say they're too short. Like if it's DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, you say they're too short, but they're fast. They're big and catch everything thrown their way, and you say they're too slow. If they're a combination of speed and height, like A.J. Green or Randy Moss, everyone says he's too skinny and he can't take a hit over the middle. So it's like they're, I mean, what are you looking for? The only guy who like ever has had that combo of size, strength, and height is Calvin Johnson. So, I mean, do you want every pick to be him? I mean, it seems like no matter what, if it's a 40 time, whatever, I mean, I think that's overrated. Like, if you catch what's thrown your way,
that's what should matter.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
But, yeah, Sunday, though, guys, make sure to tune into that. We'll be talking college football, giving some previews on that.
We'll have a special guest, Alex Berry, alumnus, graduate in 2011. So he's got experience in the college football category coming from Stillwater and Okie State. So he's been watching Whedon and Blackman for the past year or so. So tune in. Hope to catch you guys then. Thanks for listening.